In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You do not need to go very far in the study of modern missions to hit the concept of conceptualization. A standard dictionary of missions defines contextualization as the capacity to respond meaningfully to the gospel within the framework of one's own situation. The term was first used in 1972. However, it appears that the concept is not quite that new. In our reading from Acts, one could say that there is a problem with contextualizing the gospel that the church in Jerusalem addressed. Our text appears to be ready-made to discuss the proper contextualization of the gospel. We have a good example of how to do this. But as I pondered the problem, I remembered that my professors here at the seminary, some of whom are still here and active in teaching, never taught me how to preach a how-to sermon. So we won't be able to learn how to contextualize the gospel. Let us instead consider the two sides of being a Christian, both of which are clearly present in our text. The first side is the faith that the Christian has, which we can determine by the doctrine that is confessed. The Christian brothers who met with Paul told him about the many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. Paul, on his part, related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. God was at work both among the Jews and among the Gentiles. No one was left out. The gospel proclamation went out to everyone, and some among both Jews and Gentiles believed. St. Luke here does not go into a dogmatic exposition of what either the Jews or the Gentiles believed, but he doesn't need to. We are hearing about a council of James and all the elders in the church of Jerusalem meeting with the apostle Paul. They don't need an explication of what the true Christian doctrine is. They already know that. The first side of being a Christian is doctrine, faith, belief. All words talking about an internal apprehension of God's grace in Christ Jesus. The suffering and death of Jesus Christ is the object of that faith, of that doctrine. There was no conflict among the elders of the church and others on this side of being a Christian. It was on the external appearance of the Christian faith, how this faith shows up in one's life, that there was an apparent disagreement. How should the Christian live his life? Note that there was no conflict on the necessity of a Christian life. Neither side was content with a Jesus in me as the be-all and end-all of Christianity. There was an external side to the Christian life, one that others could see. The question was, in what did that Christian life consist? The elders at Jerusalem reported to Paul that the Christian Jews there have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. But they also noted, as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. So, what does the Christian life look like? How does that internal faith work itself out in external appearances, in a Christian life, in a life worthy of the calling to which the Christian has been called? It sounds like it may be passing the buck to say it depends, but St. Paul demonstrates here and throughout his ministry that it depends. St. Paul could very well be a Jew to the Jews or a Gentile to the Gentiles. He was multicultural before there was a term to describe it. He knew that what was important was that the outside activity flow from an internal faith. He very easily allowed someone or himself to do something that appeared to flow out of the law, as we see here in our text, as long as he knew that the activity flowed out of a faith in God based in Christ Jesus. It was when someone tried to make an external action the basis of faith or the basis for acceptance by God that he adamantly put his foot down, as he did in no uncertain terms with the Judaizers in Galatia. St. Paul knew how to use his Christian freedom without making his Christian life a mockery of his faith. He also knew how not to use his Christian freedom. No matter how he did it, his Christian life was apparent. It depends does not mean, of course, that everything and anything is negotiable. In the letter to the Gentile Christians, the elders of the church in Jerusalem showed that some of the Christian life is non-negotiable. We can summarize it by saying that only what is moral is necessary for the Christian life. Everything else falls in the it depends category. Now, that is perhaps an oversimplification of the point, but it does correctly describe the Christian life, and it keeps us from running into the coffee hour following chapel. The two sides of being a Christian are faith and life. One internal, one external. The external side, the Christian life, flows out of the internal side, the faith that one has in Christ Jesus. May the Holy Spirit continue to keep each of us in that true faith as that faith continues to exhibit itself in each of our lives. Amen.